GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
Want to make the most of our time with Dr. Noah Nesson, Chief Medical Officer for Penobscot Community Healthcare, and also Lori Dwyer, the President and CEO of PCHC, both on the phone with us this morning. Good morning to both of you. Noel March, our guest co-host, if you want to start with our Q&A, and starting with Dr. Nesson.
Sure, you bet. We all have questions, and Dr. Nesson, our first one is for you. What do we know at this point now, right now, medically about this?
Well, we know that it's spreading pretty rapidly across the world and in the U.S., and as we saw yesterday, it's spreading now in Maine through community spreading Cumberland County. That's likely to hit every county, every community in Maine, and so preparations, as we've all heard about with social distancing, are really critical. Medically, we know about this disease still the same, that, you know, that 80% of people, including young people, who get it, do okay with it. Either they have a mild or moderate illness that they can treat at home, but 20% of people get a more severe illness, and the older a person is, the more chronic disease that they have, the more risk of more severe illness they have. And in Maine, that's a very significant portion of the adult population. And so very serious disease. We have to take very serious measures, but we still have an opportunity to slow the transmission of this disease, which is critical.
We do have an old state if you average the age of our population. But since the weekend, how about the confirmation of cases?
We know that we have 12 cases confirmed in Maine. I think in the next day or two, you're going to see that increase quite significantly. We know that the CDC now has been designated as a lab that can confirm its own cases. They don't have to go to Atlanta for final confirmation, and that will help with the flow of information. As testing becomes more widespread, we'll see many more positive cases as well.
I want to pivot to the President and CEO of PCHC, Lori Dwyer. Lori, how busy are you, and what services are you offering? What services are people taking advantage of?
Well, good morning. We're busy. That sort of goes without saying. All of our community partners, every healthcare organization, social service agency, the city of Bangor has been extremely busy working very long hours, activating emergency plans, and all of the things that we want to be able to ensure are in place so that we can protect our patients and our community. I think that it's important to share a couple of key points for folks who are feeling like they want to see their doctor. If you are experiencing symptoms, our advice, you please call our office first. We have lots of people working the phones who can help guide you as to what's an appropriate next step for you. In some cases, we likely will sort of do a phone triage with folks and understand symptoms and talk with them, and then it's very likely in many cases we will ask them to stay home and stay in contact with them. In some cases, we will also be telling people they need to be tested, and we will give them instructions as to how and where to be tested. Each healthcare organization in the community does have tests, and we are working together with our community partners to centralize some of that testing so it's simple for folks. So there will be more information about that coming out in the next couple of days.
All right. I wanted to ask one more question to you, Lori, and that is, we know that you reach a number of populations at PCHC. We know the work that Hope House does. Is your mission going as usual, as normal?
We are open for business. We are here to see our patients. We're here to provide emergency shelter to folks who are experiencing homelessness at the present time. However, we are taking a couple of steps that I think it's important for people to know. For our most vulnerable patients, we are rescheduling sort of non-essential appointments to future dates to ensure they can stay home, they can isolate, and they can, ensure that they stay as safe as they can. The advice to stay home is critical. The advice to make sure that you are engaged in sort of broad social distancing, keeping away from people and preferably in your home as much as possible, is really, really critical right now for our community. So we're ensuring that we're not bringing people into our office and exposing them unnecessarily to any potential infection. I will say for Hope House, they are open. They have, however, changed changed how they've operated in order to account for and improve the, you know, and increase the ability for folks to stay away from one another and exercise social distancing even when they are in the milieu of the shelter.
Dr. Nesson, you know, we're worried about every sniffle and cough that we have now. We're painfully aware of it. How do I know if I have COVID-19? And what should we all know about those symptoms and signs?
And signs can vary person by person. So for instance, I have a runny nose and a scratchy throat and a mild cough today, no fever. So I'm staying home because that's what everybody should do with any kind of symptoms because you don't know. The more significant form of the illness presents as fever, cough, and as it progresses, if it gets worse, shortness of breath. And so it can be very much like influenza, very hard to distinguish based on symptoms from influenza, for instance, and in milder cases, very hard to distinguish from a cold. So if you're ill but don't feel terrible, it's good to call and get advice, but it's not necessary to seek medical attention at this point. If you're more ill and you feel you need medical attention, as Lori said, it's critical that you call ahead so that proper arrangements can be made for quick evaluation and to reduce exposure of other patients and staff not involved in your care. It all has to be pretty well coordinated to make sure we can sustain the healthcare delivery system. So fundamentally, if you're sick at all, you should stay home. If you're sick and you think you might need medical attention, you have to call ahead. It's the only safe way to approach it.
What happens if I am diagnosed? I mean, how can I treat it? What happens then?
Important for people to know that, you know, most people are going to be treated at home. There's no specific treatment aimed at this virus yet. And therefore, you're going to be working to control your symptoms. So it's going to be medicines like acetaminophen or Tylenol and ibuprofen, you know, for fever or aches or pains. And you're going to want to make sure, you know, you've got food and fluids available to you. And then it's waiting it out, as with any other, you know, cold symptoms or viral illness symptoms. So the things that you normally do when you have a bad viral infection, you're going to want to have those things available for you in case you get this infection.
Lori Dwyer, President and CEO of PCHC. The governor has said it. You've said it. Dr. Nesson has said it. There's no dismissing the concept of good hygiene. What do you make of the governor's call, however, limiting groups of 50 or more and 10 at more if there are seniors, those in the at-risk population?
I agree 100%. I think everyone has to exercise vigilance right now. And what's important, I think, to point out is that this is both about your individual health and it's about your community's health. So by adhering to these precautions, not participating in large groups, I would argue less than 50 is probably a good idea. I mean, I don't think you should be in groups, period. So exercising that kind of caution is critical right now, not just to protect yourself, but to protect your neighbors, to protect people who might be more vulnerable than you, to protect others in your community, because right now the name of the game for all of us is preventing the spread of the virus. It's containment. And to do that, we have to stay away from each other.
Test kits, something else that's on our mind. Dr. Nesson, where are we at the moment, if you can, with test kits here in Maine?
Yeah, in Maine, there are two sources of testing that can be obtained. As far as obtaining the sample, most places have plenty of what they need to obtain the sample to be tested, which is just a viral culture swab, commonly used in all practices. But the testing goes either to the Maine CDC. They get their kit that they got from the federal CDC had 1,000 tests in it. They've asked for another kit, which would be another 1,000 tests. And now Quest Diagnostics, which is a private company lab that is a very large organization across the state and has an affiliation with Maine Health in Portland, is offering testing as well. And some of the more recent cases have been diagnosed in Cumberland County through labs ordered through Quest. What will really be helpful is when there's what's called a point of care test, where the test can be run at the place where it's obtained and within a much shorter period of time, typically minutes as opposed to 2 days. When we can do that, we'll be much more nimble in being able to assess people and give them medical advice, but that's not yet available, and I don't know yet when that's on the horizon.
Lori, we're getting a flood of questions, text messages, people asking about, is it okay to send my kid to these daycares that are popping up as parents, working parents are trying to manage and remote learning for kids. But there's a lot of talk about this in social distancing, what it means in public, what it means at home. What advice have you to share?
I think that's a two-part question. So how do we do this at home, and what about daycare? Let me talk about at home first. I think the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control at the federal level and the state level have wonderful resources on their websites. If you have access to the internet, those are great places to go. They actually have a household checklist that you can just walk through to make sure that your household is prepared. What people do not need to do is necessarily hoard supplies and toilet paper, as we've seen in the headlines, although it is important to have things in the house to be able to stay in the event you need to be isolated or quarantined for up to 14 days. There's also, there's cleaning, how to make sure that you can, in fact, isolate an individual in your household if someone does test positive for the coronavirus, by creating, an individual room, a separate bathroom, things like that. So there are good resources out there for people. There's just plain old being alert and being vigilant and ensuring you're not touching, hugging people a lot, that you're cleaning surfaces on a regular basis in your home. So those are all steps people can take. And frankly, it feels good to be taking those steps because preparedness is one way to sort of manage some of the stress of this. The other question you asked was about daycare. We're all engaged in a balancing act in trying to ensure our healthcare workers and emergency workers and others can go to work in this situation where the schools are closed. And I do know that the daycare providers who are looking at continuing to provide care are taking very, very significant precautions around transmission and social distancing and ensuring very small groups of children only are together and those sorts of things. So I would encourage people who need daycare to call the daycare providers, talk through those issues, ask those questions, and then you're going to have to make an individual decision as to your own comfort level.
I know Noel has one more question for Dr. Nesson, but someone just sent this note. It's very specific. And this person says, Lori, my daughter has a well child checkup this week at PCHC. Should we reschedule?
It's likely we will be reaching out to folks who have appointments that are not necessary. Okay. So I would say, hang on, we will be reaching out to you in the event we think it needs to be rescheduled.
Excellent. Thank you for answering that question. And Noel, you had one more question for Dr. Nesson.
That was a great question. Yeah, so we're hearing a lot about these N95 respirators, Dr. Nesson. What do we need to know about owning or having or obtaining or not a respirator?
That's a really good question. The supply of what's called personal protective equipment, which includes N95 masks, which are simply masks that fit tightly over the face and have filters in them that keep airborne spread of disease from occurring. And surgical masks are in short supply. Gowns are in short supply. Eye protection is in short supply. So the public doesn't need to obtain or purchase these things. Wearing one when you're healthy out in public doesn't offer any particular protection. And it's vital that healthcare delivery systems, that practices like ours and hospitals and emergency responders have access to these masks. What we know about this virus, every indication is that it's transmitted by droplet. And it's likely that when a patient has a symptom and those of us who are caring for the patient, when both are wearing masks and when the caregiver also is wearing eye protection and gloves, that's equivalent to wearing an N95 mask. The good thing about in an emergency like this, the thing about N95 masks is that you can reuse them as long as they're not contaminated on the outside with body fluids from patients. Mm-hmm. And that helps to maintain the supply until we can get ahead of it. And the supply line for N95 masks looks pretty troubling for some time to come, although there is a strategic stockpile that under the emergency declaration, both federally and at the state level, allows the state to obtain some of that stockpile, which hopefully will alleviate some of the concern about the supply line.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.